chapter 1. We're going to read together from verse 3 all the way through to verse 10. Ephesians chapter 3, or chapter 1, verse 3 to 10. Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with His pleasure and will, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the One He loves. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment. They bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. I would highly recommend you keep your Bibles open or that app open, because I'm going to refer back to the text every now and then. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we ask that Your Word will speak to us directly this morning, that You will help us discover what adoption is all about. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. A very close friend of ours was adopted, and she shares with me that so many people see adoption as a beautiful and wonderful thing, and that most of the conversations she has with people, they respond and they go, "Oh, you're so lucky. That is amazing. You've been adopted." And now that she has adopted her own child with her husband, people often refer to them in conversations, once again, when they see the adopted child, like, "You've adopted her. That's amazing." And then she thinks and wonders how often these people don't know or have forgotten that adoption is only possible because of brokenness and the failure of the first family, the original family. And I know that's quite a heavy foundation to lay for this morning, but that's exactly where I want us to start. As we look at our text, let us see it through the eyes of our own brokenness. Where very soon after we were created, when Adam and Eve were created, we sinned. And we broke that relationship between us and God. We failed. And yet God adopted us in and through His Son, Jesus Christ. And we're going to unpack that in a lot more detail this morning through this text. Our reading today in the original Greek is actually one long prayer. One long sentence. That all the 10 verses that we read this morning is one long prayer. And Paul does it for this reason. On the one hand, he wants us not to take a breath and read through this prayer, on the one hand, focusing all our attention on God and not ourselves. And that's why he starts off with the prayer, "Praise be to God and our Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, that has given us every spiritual blessing." He wants us to move our focus, on the one hand, from ourselves to God. But then on the other hand, He also wants us to respond in gratitude for what we have received from God. And He lists all the things that we have received from Him. So let's just start with the beginning. And luckily, Paul does break it up a little. You know, there are commas in the Bible, which is great. So let's start with the first one. His introduction in the first portion of verse 3 says this: "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, this is custom in Jewish areas that they would start all of their prayers by praising God first. And once again, Paul wants us to get this, that when we pray, our focus should firstly be on God and not on our needs and our concerns. And I think that is really, really good advice and a really good custom that you and I should try and apply to our daily lives. But after we've done that, after Paul does that, he says, give praise to God because you have received many spiritual blessings in Christ. And these blessings include, and we're going to unpack them this morning, we were chosen by God before the creation of the world to live holy and blameless lives in His sight by being adopted into the family of God, and therefore we enjoy all the privileges and responsibilities of being part of God's family. Those are the four things we're going to unpack this morning. But before we do that, I want us to note this in our text this morning, that these blessings that we have received, we had zero influence on. These blessings all came from God, was all a decision by God, and we had zero influence on that decision. In verse 3, it says, in Christ. Verse 4, in Him. Verse 5, He predestined through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and His will. He has freely given to us. In Him, verse 7, in accordance with His love. Verse 8, He lavished. Verse 9, He made according to His good pleasure. It's all God's idea. And we had zero influence on that. And I think we should be very grateful for that. Because just imagine you were born on the wrong side of the road. Or into the wrong family. Or you did something or didn't do something you were supposed to do. And all of a sudden God's got to change His plans because of you or because of me. Thank goodness for that. That in His wisdom and knowledge, He created the world without any influence from us. Hey? Because then there will be a lot of golf courses and not a lot of places to paint. Hey, Nige? Thank goodness for that. But if that makes you feel a bit uneasy, don't worry. Verse 4 starts with this. God chose us before He made the world. Even though we had no influence on His decision whatsoever, He chose us before He laid the foundations of the earth. You and I have a purpose. We have been chosen by the Creator of this world. And it even tells us what we need to do. Live holy and blameless lives in His sight. He's created this wonderful world. He said it was good. And He chose to create us even though He knew that very soon after creation, we would choose to live this life our way instead of His created way. His designed way of love and peace and joy. God still chose to create us. And He chose to create us with a purpose. And many would ask, why on earth would you do that? Why on earth would Janine and I love each other that much that little James rocks up in this world if I knew that one day he would play for the Blue Bulls? Hey, hopefully not. But why on earth would I do that? You know, well, maybe the rugby is not such a strong illustration, but there are other illustrations, but that was the most relevant one for now after we beat them last night. Only just. Okay, why on earth would I allow James to come into this world, or create James to come into this world, knowing what we know about this world and how things could turn out for him? Yet God still created us. He still created Adam and Eve. He still created you and I, knowing that you and I would constantly choose to live this life our way instead of His way. You and I would constantly choose to hurt and damage that relationship with Him and with others, yet He still created us. Why on earth would He do that? Because it was His heart's desire to have many sons and daughters, just like His Son Jesus Christ. Some scholars even believe that He so enjoyed His relationship with Jesus. He was like, hey man, I need more sons like this who can walk on water and ladies who can feed 5,000, hey, with a flip of a finger. Imagine that. No cooking, hey. Just go, hey, let's go. Hey, whatever meal that is. But God so longed to have many more relationships like He had with His Son. And that's why he created us. And when we look at the original Greek in Ephesians 1 verse 5, 9 and 11, the English guys translate the word for heart's desire as will. And often it loses its meaning in English. Because it's like, you know, it was my will to do this or my will to do that. But it's not, it doesn't have like a deep drive in it. And so the original Greek word is thelema. And it means like a powerful drive, like an irresistible love and passion. And that is why God created us. He had this irresistible drive and passion to have more sons and daughters like Jesus, to have more relationships of that kind. And so that's why he created us. But he didn't just create us and go, well, I long to have this relationship with you. Go and be fruitful and multiply. And good luck. Not at all. He chose us to live holy and blameless lives indeed, but he created a plan for us in order to make sure that you and I can indeed live like Jesus. We can become sons and daughters of God. So firstly, we need to know is that we are called to live holy and blameless lives. And God often refers to this in the Old Testament and even in the New, but two of the referrals happen in Leviticus 11 and also in Leviticus 19. He says, as my sons and daughters, be holy, for I am holy. He calls us to live that kind of life. He calls us to live like Jesus. But he knew that even when he created us, and he called us to live holy and blameless lives, to avoid the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that we would stumble and fall, and we would still sin. And so he created us with a plan, a pre-designed plan. And that plan is Jesus Christ, from the very beginning. Before he even laid the foundations of the world, he knew that you and I would sin. He knew that he would have to send his son onto planet Earth to come and show us how to live this life in a holy and blameless way. But even then, with Jesus on earth, we would reject him and his way of life, and we would crucify him. And he knew he would have to do that. Do that all. Not just to restore us in sight, in right relationship with him, but to release his Holy Spirit onto planet Earth through the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ, to become that powerful drive in us to help us live holy and blameless lives. So God chose to create us before the foundations of the earth. Even though he knew we would sin, he had a plan to restore us in right relationship with him through Jesus Christ. And the amazing thing about that restoration process through Jesus Christ is that you and I, verse 4 to 6, are now adopted into the family of God. And we have become complete heirs of the God of this world, creator of the universe, with all the rights and all the privileges, as we heard in that story. We get the crown, we get the clothes, we get the good food, the songs we like, the coffee we enjoy. But it goes a lot further than that. We get to belong to a family like this eternally with God our Father. One day we'll meet him face to face and go, hey, Dad, how you doing? Let's go play some golf together. Hey, let's go and paint together. Let's go and enjoy life together like you originally created it to be. And that was God's amazing plan. And yet, some of us struggle to accept that plan. That he would create this world, he would choose to do that, choose to create us with a plan, call us to live holy lives. But today I want to remind us that for those who believe in what Jesus has done for you, to those, John 1 verse 12, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. In Galatians 4, 7, so you're no longer a slave to sin, but you are God's child. And since you are his child, God made you also a heir. This should leave us in an extreme place of gratitude. where yes, we have troubles in this world, we have struggles, but our Father is God, the creator of the universe. And He has created us with a plan in this world. And I would even go that far, based on Matthew 28, that His plan has always been to have a massive family. Always. Why on earth would He then create us if He didn't want us to be close to Him, in a family with Him? Surely He wouldn't waste His time. And He definitely didn't. He definitely didn't. If you're struggling with your identity today, may you be reminded that if you believe in Jesus, you become a child of God. And He has a plan for your life. And in God's family, He's got a unique plan for you to become doctors and lawyers and teachers and pastors and anything in between. Hey? And in that plan, He calls you to be like His Son, holy and blameless. And I think often we get stuck with this. We wonder, but how? Okay, Jan, I'm now part of God's family. How do I live like part of God's family? And another thing that Jackie, the lady that was adopted and has adopted children, said to me, the one thing that she struggled with in the beginning, with the adopted child, because now she's got a child of her own too, is when the adopted child moves into their family, for the first while, they struggle to live according to the family standards and the family customs and how we do things as a family. And I just thought that is so true even in the Christian sense, even in the spiritual adoption sense. That in the beginning, when we hear the gospel preached that Jesus died for your sins and He makes you right with God again and now you're in part of God's family, in the beginning we struggle. Like, hey, but you know, those things were kind of lacquer. I would love to, you know, do window shopping all over the place, you know, and maybe go buy a donut here and a, you know, golf club there and just do what I want. But in God's family, He says, live holy and blameless lives. Follow me, Jesus says. Live like I live. Forget about the donuts and the golf clubs. Just remember me. Grow closer in your relationship with me. And we often struggle with that in the beginning. We come into God's family, we come and sit here, we sing a few songs, and we like a few songs, and some of the songs we're like, hey, it's too fast, but that's okay, that guy needs to stop drinking coffee, because that's why he plays so fast. We get fed well here, and we kind of, that's what happens at home, eh? Hey? When you get adopted into family, you get a room, you get a bed, you get clothes, you get food, you get your preferred drink. And then often, even in a modern day, whether you're adopted or not, in a modern day family sense, we forget about family. We just go through the motions. Get up in the morning, have breakfast, go to school, go to work, come back, have dinner, go to bed. Hey? And then relationships deteriorate. When we're just going through the motions. When we stop growing in relationships. When last have we had a date night, couples? Hey? Where it's just you and your husband. Or you and the kids. You go out for dinner and it's just some quality time away from our cell phones and the TV screens. Hey? Wouldn't that be amazing? What kind of family life that would be? Because the flip side of the coin is we get to retirement or post-retirement and we've gone through the motions of life for the last 30 years and we sit across the table from our spouse and we don't even know how to have a conversation with them. We've forgotten what the favorite drink is, whether it's tea with one sugar or two or one and a half or one with a little bit of love, you know? We've forgotten about those things. And that's just in a natural sense. Now, how about our relationship with God? We get adopted into His family. He says, I want you to love all people and not hate people anymore. You're like, okay, well, we kind of do that. But then we do that for 40 years. And our relationship with God stays on that level for 40 years. And we get to the end of our lives and we sit across the table from God and we're like, how's it? How you doing? That's not a deep and meaningful conversation. Hey? Friends, let us grow in our relationship with God as we are adopted into His family, that when we're walking through the doorway of heaven, it's a celebration. It's like, how's it, Dave? How you doing? Hey? There's the drama ministry right there. You're going to rock it. Hey? Or, who's that guy? Hey, man, he's carrying a golf club. Like, there are no golf courses in heaven. I'll be very disappointed. But when you're walking up to the doorway of heaven, you want to enter into the eternal house of God. And obviously, God's not going to do this. But I want us to understand that our relationship with God can be so meaningful that the doorways of heaven would fling open instead of like, geek. Who's that oak? Hey, Peter. Just bring that book again. Like, ID photos, I'm not sure. Hey? Surely not. Surely you want to be able to enter into heaven and Jesus and the crew and they all go, come on, let's go and have an awesome time together. And that's really our prayer and our hope this morning, that as adopted children of God, that we would understand that as you become part of the family, you've got to spend time with the family. You've got to spend time with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit and get to know them, because when you get to know them, you understand that, yes, He created you with a purpose. Yes, this world is a mess, but there's a plan and a wonderful eternal plan. And through your everyday life, you kind of go, oh, yeah, that's a very good idea, you know, to make a cup of coffee for that colleague that you're really struggling with and remember that they like sugar and not salt in their coffee would be fantastic. But maybe God nudges you in the morning as you engage with Him and grow in your relationship with Him, and He nudges you to just smile at that colleague. Or while you're driving and a taxi skips a red light, that it's like, oops, and not pawpaw. Hey? Come on. Let us grow in our relationship with God as members of His family, so that one day when you walk through the doors, it is good, faithful servant, not I'm not quite sure who you are and what you've done for me on earth. And that's just in a personal sense. But as the family of God, friends, God wants this family to grow. Another danger for us is as we become part of God's family, we're like, hey, let's build the walls, electric fence, security systems, and guards at the front door. You know? Make sure nobody else can get in because the food in here is really good and I don't want to share that. Oh, friends, that's not God's plan at all, because you and I are sitting here. If that was God's plan, well, then the disciples and the early church, that was it. They would like lock down Jerusalem and nobody else can get in. That was never God's plan. He said, go to Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Go and get more people into my family. Go and tell them that I love them and I created them and I chose them from the foundations of the earth. Go and tell them and then bring them to me. I want more people in my family. That is our challenge here. We come here every week. We get fed well. We sing well. We fellowship well. But what about those guys in the parking lot right now by Checkers? What about them? Surely God wants them in His family too. And that's where our responsibility comes in. We have got to grow in our relationship with God to that extent we would be willing to cancel Sunday morning service and have this as Christmas right here like we did last year. And bring the Checkers parking lot right in here. But even more than that, where we go, this Sunday morning we're going to have church in the parking lot. Pack the sound system or no sound system. We go with the guitar and we sing Kumbaya so the people in Checkers parking lot can know that that's the family of God. They love us too because we'll invite them. Hey, it's free coffee. Don't pay at Checkers. Come here. It's free. Breakfast. Come here. But often they don't want to get through these gates. So how about we take the church to them? Hey? Come on. Surely one day you want to get to heaven. And there are like thousands of people that are like, hey, but you were from Durban North Baptist Church where you guys had that service in the parking lot. And I heard about Jesus. And I'm here. Thank you. And you're like, oh, yeah, parking lot church. Yeah. We did that every week, every day. We grew God's family every moment that we possibly can. And I really hope that you would accept that challenge from the text this morning, because Jesus, verse 10, wants everything, everybody in heaven under his authority one day. He doesn't want to exclude anyone. And it's up to us. He said in Matthew, I'll use the rocks if you ain't going to do it. But he chooses to create humans instead. And he wants us to be part of his plan to grow his family. So let's go and do it. Hey, come on. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have chosen us before the creation of this world to become part of your family because of what your Son Jesus Christ has done for us. And so we just ask, Lord, that you would give us the courage and that powerful drive in us called the Holy Spirit to grow closer to you as family members of God. And as we grow closer to you, enable us and equip us, Lord, with the courage to join your plan of growing your family and having billions of people in heaven with us one day, worshiping you, enjoying life with you like it was originally intended to be. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.